Blog Talk Radio.
Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Think about that word going through your day today, this week. Welcome to Kylie's Conversations, formerly Myopathy or My Myopathy. I kind of came up with the name because I had a girl that, for some reason, everywhere I go, people think when I say my name, they think it's Carl. And this girl at work always called me Kylie. That's why I kind of called my cakes Kylie Cakes, and I called this Kylie's Conversation. I didn't even know if this would continue. It's basically just a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am thing I was going to do just to try to explain my myopathy and get going. And anybody out there that's listening, thank you so much for spending a half an hour with me today. And if anybody knows anybody that has anything from like a myopathy to fibromyalgia or anything that deals with stuff and wants to come on the show and talk about their experiences and how they deal and how they cope with it, I'd be more than happy to have them on and, you know, let them explain what they do and how they deal with it. And like I've said, you know, my support group that I started was so that we may not have the same myopathy, but we, what's in common with each other? What do we have that's in common? And all that good stuff. I'm going to do a book update. Anyone that's listening that might not be a friend on Facebook, I'm a New England Coal Institute graduate, December 99, and I always wanted to do something that was my own, and I did a cookbook called, last October I finished it, called Bone Legumes, Everyday Vegetarian and Vegan Recipes, gluten-free, meat-free, and dairy-free, except for like one recipe, everything that can be made, basically gluten-free or wheat-free. Excuse me. And when I went to go print it, I was noticing that it'd be like $38 my cost. And even when I did a discount, I was still going to be at roughly like $30 my cost for the book. And that's not any, and for 57 pages, you know, 21 recipes, one of my bosses said, well, you need to put more in it, put more into it. And I'm like, these are my recipes. They're what mean the world to me. They're what I make a lot of the time. And my mom has an encyclopedia of cookery that she got, and it has like A, B, C, and some of the letters, it's like, you know, H and J are like one volume. And they have like in the ham section, I'll have like 20 ham recipes that are almost identical, but one uses honey, so it's a honey glaze. One uses maple sugar, so it's a maple glaze. One is a molasses glaze. One is a brown sugar glaze. You know, one is a, you know, simple syrup glaze. But it's not much different. Why don't you just say, okay, here's this recipe, and you can exchange the sugar with any sugars you like in this ratio. And like, you know, as long as you have a cup of whatever to glaze it with, you can use any glaze. What, you know, 25 recipes. And I have some that have so many recipes, and I wanted to keep something that was small, that was simple, that I, recipes that mean the world to me, that you can look at it and you can say, hey, I can make some of these, and one might become a favorite. You know, and you might say, hey, well, that's, I've never thought of doing that. I never thought of flavoring quinoa or whatever. And so, it's just, and today is the final day. I've got a 40% off sale to where the book will cost me $23.09 to my cost without shipping, and I think it's like $27 is what I'll have to charge for, but I'm going to get like 50 copies or 40 copies of the book and just see how it goes. And, you know, I'm afraid that people are going to go, why didn't you get a whole bunch? Well, I don't know, because I had a lot of people interested in it, but now that it's I don't know. I just don't want to be stuck with a lot of books and, you know, $27 for that much. Because I know I've been to Meijer and they're $15 for huge books, but then I'm not printing. I'm printing this. It's not like whoever they are, you know, PP Publishing is not buying 80 million copies and selling them. I'm buying it and I'm selling it out of my own pocket. So that's kind of an update on my book and where that's at, and I hope to get some. Because I know I promised, like, Heather Hawley, this is a shout-out to you. You edited my book. I did add a little bit at the very end of it after it was edited just because I wanted to explain why there's 21 recipes. It's just simple. A little bit, but she edited the book, and I thanked her to this. That meant the world to me. And I wanted to have a copy. And, you know, my sister in Michigan was going to try to get her on the show today. You know, I wanted to get her a copy, but I think their computer is still, you know, getting fixed or whatever, because Don hasn't Facebooked me anything, so assuming their computer's still down. Which leads me to, whenever I've had a computer problem, it's either had to been shipped away, or like dismantled, or I've had to have like a brand new computer. I've never, these commercials where this guy goes, "Oh, this computer's running slow and I'm having issues." Well, did you go to this website, babadabada.com? Look, you even got an antivirus. No, fix it just like that. I've never had a virus on my computer that I could just put a program in and just fix it. Every time I've had an issue with my computer, it's been like, well, it seems like every time I do this thing, it always finds a virus. Every time, we're going to have to dismantle this thing. I can tell you that right now. You know, even if, take it to anywhere, you'll have to have this thing taken apart. I've never had. So I wish I could get a virus if I ever had one. All I had to do was just click a button and it would fix it. But that's not the case. And hopefully got my audio fixed. The last couple weeks I wasn't frogging, you know. And if you don't know what God and my audio. Put these things in and listening to music. He's just cutting it. And I was using it mainly for the Blog Talk Radio thing, which I got for. And a headset I got that I use for when I do my French tutoring with my Brazilian guy, it actually works for this because I called my mom using it and it worked perfect. So I'm like, this will be great. And I already had it and I didn't have to buy it. So. If you're a friend of me on Facebook, again, thanks for listening if you're listening. I'm going to semi-apologize, but not really. I'm not really a political guy. I'm not. And this show is not really going to be about politics. Well, I mean, some shows I could do about politics, but I just get infuriated when I see my freedoms being flushed down the toilet. I mean, you take, like, I'm not a teacher, but you take that Common Core, for example. What's the number one thing it's going to do? Kids are not going to learn cursive handwriting. Well, you may say, who writes anymore? Most people type. Very few people have a piece of paper and a pencil. Okay, but give a kid 5 or 6 or 7 years or 8 years from now the Constitution and see if he can read it. He won't be able to. So they'll put it online and they'll write in whatever they want to write. They'll make it fit their agenda. You know, I'm really studying this healthcare bill because I have a health issue and I want to be able to keep my doctor. I want to keep my insurance. The reason I like where my company has actually dropped insurance companies in the past because the fact that it violates their religious beliefs. And since they've done that, you know, they're fighting to ensure that we have insurance through our company that we use. You know, I guess what I see happening is, because I have a friend, Tammy Stoltz, we're like brother and sister. She's like my sister, Lisa Mitchell. We're so close, but when it comes to politics, we're so far apart, it's not funny. But we have the same music, the same connection to a lot of things. And I actually showed her this video, because she hates Sarah Palin. I showed her this video. Sarah Palin was on for Greta Van Susteren's show on the record. And she goes, "Greta, let me tell you something. When I was on campaign with John McCain running for vice president, when he was running for president, I wasn't able to talk about the comment that Barack Obama made when he said that he visited 57 states. I couldn't talk about, it was forbidden for me to talk about Barack Obama's relationship to Bill Ayers and the Weather Underground, the group that tried to bomb buildings of the U.S. in the 60s. She couldn't talk about Reverend Jeremiah Wright and the fact that he went to church for 22 years with a guy that teaches white supremacy, I mean black supremacy, white genocide. And that's the one question, because there's a guy, I forget his name, he's on YouTube, and he's black, and he's very, very independent and hates Obama, and he's like, well, why do we claim Obama? You know, his mom was white. White's claiming. He's not all black, you know, and I'm one of these people that, like, I don't look at someone as white. I look at someone as a human being, you know, not white, not black, not Asian, not Indian, not, and my friend was like, what? And she was like, wait a minute. And I was like, yeah, she was forbidden to talk about things. You know, but why would Barack Obama go to a church that preaches like killing the whites and their babies when his mom was white? That's the only thing I cannot figure out, but, you know, and it's just, she couldn't believe. I'm like, yeah, there are many people in the media who have been threatened if they try to say anything negative against Barack Obama. And where's our freedom of speech? I don't care what you believe. If you're a liberal, I have tons of liberal friends. And that's great. But I don't care what you believe. But, you know, when where I work, you had a ton of fine, but their paychecks were missing money because of the fiscal cliff, and they were taking more taxes out. And what's a fiscal cliff? I'm like, if it affects your life, you should know about it. And I'm going to take some of my friends, totally to change the subject, and take them to Italy or France. When I've had friends like this, they can't, like, my eternal clock is so messed up because of the hour change. I don't know how 1 hour really affects you. It doesn't affect me. You know, I couldn't imagine them going to Italy where when you leave here at 5 at night and you get to Italy, it's 8 in the morning, but it should be about midnight, you know. So, because if they can't handle a 1 hour jump, imagine, you know, like a 6 or 7 hour difference. You know, I like it because, like, Saturday night, I was exhausted. I just watched some X-Files, read a little bit, and just slept. And that's what my body does. Like, I'm wide awake in my bed, but when I got to my bed, I was about ready to pass out. As soon as I got to my bed, I'm wide awake. And most nights, I'm up to like, midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, can't sleep, and then it finally catches up to me, and then come Saturday night, I'm just out like a light. On the program before, I mean, that's the hardest thing, because my dad will never get it. My dad's, like, there's a commercial where, like, you know, one of the greatest fullbacks of all time, Mike Allstott, and he talks about, are you 35 or so, and you have a problem keeping off the pounds? What that, I mean, he does this whole spiel. I'm like, well, my dad has issues like that, okay? And the fact that my dad has issues like that, but he's up there like 60. It's only been since he's like 65 now, 66, but it wasn't until he was like 60 till he had those issues. I mean, I guess I don't remember in high school people downing Mountain Dews left and right because there was no energy drinks. I don't remember people taking no doses. Now, everybody, I know people looked at like 6 or 7 monsters during a day just to function. I don't know. I mean, have people always needed caffeine to get them going like tenfold? And, you know, I just drank coffee because I needed the caffeine, but now I think I tell my taste better. That, you know, I don't know. I don't remember people, because I guess my dad, unless he goes out to a restaurant for breakfast, he hardly ever has coffee, except for then. My dad gets up at 4 in the morning and works till 2 in the morning. And when I don't do it, he always goes, when I was your age, I had 2 kids and I was da-da-da-da-da. Excuse me. And, okay, well, my body is like a 65-year-old. My mind is like a 18-year-old. I want to run that marathon, but I mean, my body knows it can't do it. You know, and I like I said on the last show, I relate a lot of my life to motorsports because I'm a huge motorsports fan, and many people know who John Force is. He's one of the best NHRA drag racers, but the best was a guy by the name of the Bounty Hunter, Connie Kalita. And the week before Scott Kalita was in my dad's shop getting work done on his car, signing shirts, you name it. And he's like, oh, life is just so great. Everything's wonderful. Yeah, I got the Lord. We're just, it's amazing. And that following weekend in Englishtown, the shortest track of all, we lost a great race car driver in drag racing. Because of one thing, you know, having the last name Coletta doesn't make me a winner, but it makes me want to be a racer. He always wanted to be known for him. You know, like, okay, yeah, my dad's the Bounty Hunter, Connie Kalita, but if I'm no good, I'm no good. Don't give me all this notoriety just because of who my dad was. You know, a lot of people say, well, Dale Sr. was the best. You know, the King, Richard Petty, 7 NASCAR Winston Cup championships, 200 victories. No one even comes close. Well, I'm the king. I'm a king. I never was given that title. I didn't. They did. There's a guy that's come down a couple times to see his dad for a day and on Sunday and have an omelet. And it's, I mean, I kind of sit there and I kind of see him in the background like, huh, yeah, like 85% an omelet and 15% seeing my dad, you know. And he came up to me and he goes, it's just so nice to know that if I leave, I know my parents are taken care of, that they're in great hands. It means the world to me. They gave me that title. I guess I probably have a confidence issue, is what my mom said. And I kind of somewhat agree. I just don't have confidence. I borderline on, I don't want to be known as prideful. I don't want to, like, look at me, I'm this great guy. Like when Tammy Stoltz the one day told me that I was an inspiration to her, I just couldn't, I about broke down and lost it, and cried and lost it. And it's just, I don't see myself as something special. I mean, maybe like one of a friend I went to high school with, you know, we went back and forth here or there on Facebook and, you know, not super best friends, but, you know, when her dad died, I just felt led to be there. I felt led to, you know, Everything's Okay by Chris Rice. I sent the videos. When Baby Allison died at the track in Alabama, a few weeks later, they actually did a tribute. And it goes like this, but I don't even have it here, so I'm going 99.9% from memory, so I may screw it up, but it goes like this. Please don't sing sad songs for me. Forget your grief and fears, for I am in a perfect place, away from pain and tears. I'm far away from hunger and hurt and want and pride, but I have a place in heaven with the Master at my side. My life on earth was very good, as earthly lives can go, but Paradise is so much more than anyone can know. My life is filled with happiness and sweet rejoicing too. To walk with God is perfect peace and joy forever new. And that always stuck with me because I loved Alan Quickie and Davey Allison. And it's funny when you watch NASCAR and they have to explain what the Polish victory Quickie made so famous. And my point with all this is I just do what I do. I didn't expect, maybe it is God, that I just felt led to be there. I feel led to be with people and help them, you know? I mean, you treat a disease, you win, you lose, but you treat the patient, you win, no matter what. And that's at the core of who I am, you know? I'll get screwed over 75 times, but I'm not going to stop being who I am, you know? I'd probably have about $300, maybe more, if I got all the money back I gave people that wanted to borrow $1, $2, or $5. So, you know, it's just who I am. You know, I'm a very taken back, shy kind of person. Neil Peart actually is one of these people. I think. He'll go, like, on his motorcycle, and when they're on tour, he'll have his driver of his bus will drop him off, like, 2 hours from the venue, and he'll ride his bike in, and he'll go to these little back roads, and he'll have breakfast at a place that's a little mom-and-pop place, and no one, and he goes, I have no problem talking to people that are, like, nobodies. He's just tired of, you're Neil Peart, who, you know, yeah, I like Ginger Baker, too, great, but trying to find out where he lives. You know, it's like, who cares? You know, like, when you look at, like, the Grand Am Rolex GT Sports Car Series, which is no longer, it's going to be something else that's being sponsored by someone else. You can go in the pits and do a lot of stuff because people are not autographing. They're not like hounds like they are in the States. You know, they know that, okay, yeah, they're doing their job, and you can watch, but if you need to step back, most of the time, they don't even have to tell you. You'll just be back. And they may end up having to go right where you are, and, you know, and they're far away and say, we're going to go where you are. And I guess Neil Peart doesn't, like, he just wants to talk to people as people. Not, oh, you're Neil Peart, you know, not like some starstruck crazed fan, you know. And, I mean, like, when I go to, like, reunions or stuff, like when people come in from out of town from high school, I'm that dude in the corner that doesn't, like, I just don't, I'm just not, I'm not really any social, I'm just, like, very taken back and reserved and shy, and just, like, you know, like, okay, I don't feel like, okay, most people have a girlfriend, or are married, or have kids. I have none. The last person I was with was almost 7 years ago, going on 8, and she was bipolar, and I'm lucky to be alive, because they can be the nicest person 1 minute, and then want to kill you the next minute. And one of my good friends, when I was cooking for her husband's funeral, we found out we had so much in common in a past relationship, you know, being with someone that was bipolar. And I guess I don't ever want that. But I'm not that so open that I can just walk up to someone and ask them out. That's just not me. That's just so weird and awkward for me. You know? And I guess it all stems, I don't want to be known as prideful. I don't want to be known as, like, this guy that's like, here he is. There's this, like, guy that's stuck on himself, and I'd rather be, not look at myself as anything special, and, you know, and then be someone that might be construed as being prideful. You know? I mean, and sometimes I kind of, my mom thinks, well, maybe I'm not where I should be because of that. Well, you should be doing way more. You should be this and this and this. And I don't know. But I just try to live my life and just do what I think is right. You know? Like I say, I'm not going to change who I am. You know? If you like me, you do, you don't, you know, you want to spit on me, go ahead. I won't spit back. Not the right thing to do. And that's just the type of person I am, you know. And I just try to give back, and I think it's the man upstairs that just, you know, just even if, I mean, I'm one of those people, and I was on my Facebook one time that said, you know, when I say I care, I mean it. And I guess I don't, I mean, I've had people that literally, like, as soon as they noticed the disability placard, never heard from them again, because I had that. It was about 5 years ago. I went out with a girl twice, and when we took my car, and we went to, like a farm and fleet place, and I pulled into the disability store. She goes, "You can't park there." I'm like, "I got a plate, yes." And, you know, and after that night, never heard from her again. And that's not how you treat people. You know, I just want to be like everyone else, normal. And I don't look different. But I guess I just, you know, with things that have happened in my life, I don't ever want that. And I just treat people the way I want to be treated. Sounds cheesy enough, but it is. You know, I mean, I have so many friends, like I found a little bit earlier. I have friends that are very, very, very leftist, big-time liberals. Like, if you look at Glenn Beck and Penn Jillette, they are great friends and can have great conversations. But you want to know something? How can they? Glenn Beck believes in God. Penn Jillette's atheist. How can they? Well, because they look at what they have in common more than what they have separate. Like, I think Christians should be outraged. When you look at these holiday shows and they're not going to allow Christmas songs and these winter programs in some of these places, I'm sorry. They should. I'd be outraged. I'd be calling up and saying, okay, why is this not happening? Well, put a Hanukkah song in there. Dreidel, 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 I make you out of clay. Dreidel, 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 together we will play. I would love to know more about Hanukkah. Put Hanukkah songs in there. No one stands up as a Christian and says, hey, well, we're all offended because you're going to, what about the people that are offended that this stuff is not in the Christmas, in the winter program? I'd be outraged. All you hear about is people being outraged because there's Ten Commandments. You know, the separation of church and state, very few people know this, but the true meaning of the separation of church and state was we didn't want to have government-run churches like England. We wanted to have the government out of our churches. It doesn't mean that you can't have church stuff in a government building. It just means that the church will not be run by the government. You know? Everyone's outraged that there's like a nativity scene at a courthouse, but no one's coming up and saying, well, I'm outraged that they're trying to take it away. You very rarely hear people outraged about the one but not the other. So I got about 17 seconds left. So to anyone out there that was listening, I want to thank you so much for taking and spending half an hour with you and me. Thank you for spending it with me, and you all have a great day, and God bless y'all. See you tomorrow.